everyone, and welcome to Minute 63 of Movie Rob Minute, the daily podcast, where we take a wild trip through the 1987 John Hughes comedy, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me again today is Heather Baxendale of the MILFcast. Welcome back, Heather.
Hello! Thank you for having me back on.
Just be careful of trunks in the middle of the road.
Yes. They're very suspicious, you know.
Yes. But they're green. You know, they are.
It's actually kind of cool. I wouldn't mind having a trunk like that. I wouldn't want to go through what was necessary to get one in this
Correct.
Film.
Yes,
but
I agree with you on that.
I would enjoy having a trunk like that. It's pretty cool.
Okay. Minute 63 begins with the car finishing its slow U-turn on the highway and ends with Del complaining about his back. So yesterday, after getting sideswiped on both sides by various trucks, Del has finally stopped the car, turned it around, facing the right direction, and he makes this very, very large U-turn across the entire side of the highway and, you know, makes it to where he should be. Now, what do you know about U-turns?
Depending on what state you're in, they're legal or they're not legal. It's completely legal to make U-turns in Michigan. I used to make them all the time with my first car, but it was a 1993 Ford Festiva, so it was super tiny and I could do it anywhere I wanted.
All right, that's very true. So a U-turn is, in driving, refers to performing a 180-degree rotation to reverse the direction of travel. It is called a U-turn because the maneuver looks like the letter U. Makes sense. In some areas, the maneuver is actually illegal, while in others, it is treated as a more ordinary turn, merely extended. In still other areas, lanes are occasionally marked U-turn permitted or even U-turn only. So occasionally on divided highways, special U-turn ramps exist to allow traffic to make a U-turn, though often their use is restricted to emergency and police vehicles only. In the U.S., U-turn regulations vary by state. So in Indiana, U-turns are allowed as long as the driver follows all the precautions normally ascribed to making a left turn, yielding right away, etc., things like that. Many places, including Texas and Georgia, have specially designed U-turn lanes, referred to as Texas U-turn lanes.
And that must be like a Michigan U. I get it.
There you go. And in Michigan, U-turns are required for many left turns to and from divided highways, as part of the Michigan Left Maneuver. You ever hear that? You ever heard of the Michigan Left Maneuver?
Yep. They actually have their little turns that they actually make in the median so you can go around. They're all over the place.
Yeah. So yeah, that's just really cool. So there are places where it is actually forbidden to do it.
I don't think it would matter to Dell anyway.
No, I don't think so. Well, especially that, I mean, The highway's deserted here.
Yeah, after that point, it's meh.
That's true.
What are you going to do?
That is very true. Yeah.
Which trunk, though? Just the one trunk. Leave the other trunk out there.
That's true. So in Taiwan, it's actually illegal to make U-turns, and you can actually get fined. You can get fined if you make a U-turn on a curve, a slope, a narrow road, a narrow bridge, or a tunnel. If you make a U-turn at a road segment signed no U-turn or painted double solid yellow or white lines, if you make a U-turn on a road segment prohibiting left turn, if you're not surrounding a roundabout to make a U-turn in such an intersection, and before making a U-turn, if you fail to stop or signal your left turn as required. Well, that's pretty bad.
Yeah. Harsh, Ty.
Yeah, very. What can I tell you? So basically they make this or Dell makes this U-turn and pulls up on the parks on the side of the shoulder. And we can then see, you know, in the distance, there's car lights coming towards them. And the car then starts to slow down, swerves in order to not hit any of the luggage in the middle of the highway. And then it honks at them and moves along. Now, first of all, if you're on a speeding highway in the middle of the night, again, we're not really sure what time this is because it shouldn't be that late, but it is. Based on all the, if you want to try and pace out how everything they did during the course of the day, they've done a lot of things in this day. But still, let's say at the latest they rented the car at 4 o'clock. It's only a 4 hour drive from St. Louis to Chicago.
That's what I was trying to figure out. How long exactly had they been driving? How far along were they, too?
Yeah, tomorrow we'll find out exactly where they are, because in tomorrow's minute they tell us. But
This is true.
today we don't know yet. But let's put it this way: if it's only a 4 hour drive, they didn't get very far. I mean, the script talks about them stopping in a few cafes and things like that. But again, it doesn't seem as if it's the middle of the night, even though. Or it doesn't seem it should be the middle of the night, even though it looks like they're in the middle of the night. It looks like this is 1,
No.
2 o'clock in the morning,
It feels like it's more like 10 or 11 o'clock though.
Yeah, at the latest. But
But
again,
also if
but it shouldn't be
it's
that
an
late.
overnight,
That's my
excuse me.
point. It shouldn't even be that late. They should already be in Chicago a long time ago, right? But you have a car speeding down the highway, and he can actually. The way he slows down, he's swerving around these things, like on that Brady Bunch episode where they put the egg on the, where Marcia and Greg are competing as to who's a better driver, and they set up all the pine cones. They're going like
That.
really, really slow. This is not the type of car that's driving on a highway, even in the 80s.
No, it's old and it's a boat. It's a boat. That's what
And
we used to call cars like that.
yeah, completely. And there's like even no there's no concern for the fact that you see a car on the side of the highway and you see luggage strewn all over the place. Like no one cares. They're like
No, now I would believe that. But back then, I feel like people would stop.
that's my
If that
point.
happened, yeah, it definitely was not a thing where people would just drive by then. Number one, because now people have cell phones and they have tow services and other things. And also people are gross. But back in the 80s, somebody would have stopped and checked to make sure they were okay.
Yeah, that's what I think
And
also.
there's several cars that pass them.
No, that's something we're going to
Nope.
talk about. This is the first car that passes them, and it's going to be a while till another car passes them.
Okay. I'm thinking of, yes, after.
Right.
Okay.
But again, there's no concern for anything, and it's interesting that this car is able to slow down so quickly. Because there aren't that many lights on this highway either. It's
No, and
pretty
we're
dark.
assuming they're going at least 55.
That's right. Okay, and at this point, Neil and Dell both get out of the car. I love how Neil puts on his jacket. He's freezing his butt off at this point, I guess. Again. And Dell starts looking at the damage to the car, and he goes, "Oh, hey, this isn't so bad. Yeah, I thought it would be a lot worse than this. They ought to be able to buff this out, no problem."
Because they should have been dead.
Yeah, that's true. Also, they wouldn't have that problem.
Was great how he did it, though. He was trying to pass it off as a, yeah, this is just a minor scratch. No big deal.
Yeah, they can just buff that right out there.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Dell's whole mentality. Don't worry about it. It's fine.
Especially when, he's not paying for it. Don't tell anyone that. And Dell continues talking. He goes, "Oh yeah." He starts cracking up, and he goes, "Wow." He goes, "I mean, that was close. We can laugh about it now. We're all right, The whole and like. At this point, he starts looking over, and you can see that Neil is just fuming. He's, Dale's trying to laugh the whole thing out, and Neil is very serious, and you can see he's really, really pissed. And at a certain point, Dale finally realizes that, okay, he should probably shut up because the situation isn't as simple as it might seem to be. And then he quickly changes the subjects and subject and says, "Well, maybe we should just get my stuff off the road, huh? What do you think?" And again, he's talking to himself, and he goes, "Yeah, that's a good idea." It's great how he asks a question and responds to himself, because he knows that Neil is just not in the mood.
Nope, he's trying to control the situation by misdirection. which is a lot of what he does, but he does it really well for the most part too.
Yeah.
But yeah, Neil's pretty close to exploding here.
Yeah, waiting to watch his head just explode, you know.
Yeah, he's just about had enough, but we're not really there to enough just yet.
Not at all. And then we hear Neil, we hear Del. At this point, we hear Del, you know, going to get his luggage, and then we hear him, you know, faintly say, "Oh, my back." Now, do you think he's doing that to get sympathy from Neil?
I think it's just misdirection. I think that's kind of what he does. He's tried to make a joke out of the situation. He's waiting for Neil to bite. He's trying to move on from the fact that, you know, again, this is his fault. And I think that's his way of going, look, I'm suffering too. I'm also having a rough time here, and his back might hurt.
Right. Well, but he did talk about it a few weeks ago that, you know, he has a bad back.
Yes. So it's absolutely plausible that it is, but it's I think it's just misdirection. I think that's just, you know, one of his character traits that he does. Well, okay, I've tried to do this, and now we're going to turn it back around to me, and then I can control the situation.
Right. Exactly. And, I mean, at this point, I, one of the things that I noticed was, is, as I mentioned before, there are no cars on this side of the road. On the other side of the road, you know, there are a lot of cars.
You hear them. You hear them in the background, too.
And you can see them also. You see the lights of all the cars, or the brake lights of all the cars and trucks that are on the other side of the road. But on their side of the road, there's nothing. So it
just happened to be two semis who were driving right next to each other at exactly the same time on the top of a hill. That's it.
Right.
That's the main traffic for this road.
Correct. So I guess no one's traveling to Chicago. Everyone's traveling to St. Louis.
Which you'd think there'd be traffic in both directions.
But again, it depends on what time. If this is 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, maybe there shouldn't be. But it's very disproportionate.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. This is 100% for convenience.
Yeah.
This
it's like, definitely... let's not bother the actors. We're not bringing the second unit in yet, you know.
Let them do their thing and be funny, which they were.
Yes. Yes. And then if you notice that we get a shot of Del going to pick up his trunk, but his suitcase and his gym bag are already on the side of the road, even though before we saw them all there.
I did notice that, and I was wondering how that happened or if I had missed something. And I watched it again, and I didn't see it get there.
Well, that's the thing. I didn't notice it in this minute the first time I saw it, and then in the next minute I saw that they weren't that he wasn't picking them up. So I went back to look, and here when Del goes into the highway to go pick up his trunk, you see that the suitcase and the gym bag are already on the side of the road.
Yeah. See it get over there.
Yeah, and that's pretty much how this minute ends. You know, it's a relatively short minute. A lot of uncomfortable laughing.
Lots of uncomfortable.
But
laughing.
It still works. Yeah, no question about that.
Well, and that's Neil's whole entire piece of this. It was more yes. or less reacting, just reacting, and doing a really good job of not using language mm-hmm. and still acting
completely. But that's Steve Martin for you. Steve Martin is great at that.
Yep. He's
king. So you have anything else before we get into the script?
No, I think we covered
okay.
it on
all right,
that
well,
one.
The script here also, there isn't that much differences, but one of them is that Dell's, when they look at the car, that the trunk, that it's empty, you know, that the there's no trunk lid on the trunk. So Dell says, we can make a jacuzzi out of it.
I can totally see why they didn't keep it in, but that's funny.
Yeah. What do you know about jacuzzis?
Oh, goodness, that they were very popular in the late 80s and early 90s. And friends had them, and I never had them, and I always wanted one. And if you get a hotel room with jacuzzi tubs, they're fantastic. I love how you ask me about things if I know them, and I'm like, I'm just going to tell you anecdotes
That's
rather
fine.
Than any actual information.
That's fine. I did the research, but I want to hear your stories. You know, there you go. We're a good team here, Heather. We're a good team.
They were super. Yes, we are. You've got the facts.
Go.
I've got the stories. We're basically Neil and Del. I will definitely get us in trouble. I will take us way off course. We will go the wrong way. That's what I do. They were, though. Jacuzzis were a huge, huge thing. And now they have blow-up versions that you can put in your backyard.
Oh, wow.
Kai has one. People stream from Twitch on them with their cats. It's very strange. Jacuzzis have come a long way.
That is definitely true. So a jacuzzi is also known as a hot tub, right? So it's a large tub full of water used mostly for hydrotherapy, relaxation, or for pleasure. Some have powerful jets for massage purposes, and they're sometimes known as spas. Or by the trade name jacuzzi. So I never knew this. Jacuzzi is the name of a company.
Oh, so it's like Band-Aid.
Yeah, or Kleenex.
Yeah, or that's just or what Q-tip. We call them. Hmm? Yes, also another good example.
Yeah, months ago, me and my guest Alan talked about Q-tips, and we mentioned that exact fact, but I didn't know about jacuzzi back then.
I didn't either. Well, maybe that's why they've been more popularized by calling them hot tubs in the last many years rather than jacuzzi.
Probably. That's true. So most of them are designed for more than one person. Okay. Some of them can even accommodate 4 or 5 people in them or more, depending on the size. Right. And most people don't use soap or shampoo.
I don't think so.
That's probably not good.
I don't recall that happening. It was like, I don't know. They came out and I put specifically jacuzzi together with water beds. It's just a phenomenon that both happened at the same time. But the hot tubs have lasted, whereas water beds have not.
Yeah, that's true. And I mean, when do you think people started using hot tubs in the U.S.? What would be your guess?
I would probably say probably somewhere in the early 70s. I'm sure it's earlier than that, but I think the early 70s would probably be a timeline where they started actually popping up for it to be a thing that people just had regularly in their houses in the 80s.
Right. So actually, they started hot tubs came to America in the 1940s.
Okay.
And in the 70s, that's when they started using fiberglass shelled hot tubs. And then they started using acrylic shells after that.
You were pretty cool if you had a jacuzzi at your house when I was a kid.
Yeah, for sure.
I knew one person that had one, and that was it. They also had a waterbed. They had everything cool.
Yeah. How many people do you think are killed in jacuzzis a year?
I love these questions so much. I used to have...
not a year. Between 1980 and 1996.
1980 and 1996. I will say 210.
There were more than 700 people killed.
I'm not even surprised at all.
Yeah.
I had a client before they were an insurance company, and I was doing data for them, and one of the things was how many vending machines killed people a year, and it was like 49 people die from vending machines a year.
Wow.
Weird stuff like that I was coming up with, looking up data and statistics and stuff like that. So strange things like this I think are fascinating.
Yeah.
And then you wonder exactly how it occurred. Of course,
you're right. So according to the research that I did, most people, it's from drowning. Okay, yeah. But why? Because there's powerful suction in the drains. So people would get caught in the drain.
This is like Maximum Overdrive, but jacuzzi.
Completely.
You could make a horror movie just out of that. Oh my gosh, that's terrifying.
Unbelievable. Completely. But I mean, it's funny that the information that I got here is it only gives till 1996. Does that mean that things are safer now? That there's less suction in hot tubs?
I assume so.
Yeah.
If little children were getting stuck in the drains, getting sucked down, they would have to correct that in order to continue selling their product.
Yeah.
It's bad for business.
And people would get shocked also in them.
That I remember. I remember that being a thing also. I always got suspicious, especially of the outdoor ones when you'd see cords going back up to people's walls.
Yeah.
Thinking, no. Yeah. Not going in that.
Yeah. Probably not.
I like living. It's fun.
Yeah. And I mean, the only other difference in the script is that Del complains a little bit more of his back issues, but it says that he actually picks up the suitcase, you know, and he picks up the suitcase and then complains about the fact that his back is hurting him.
Okay, now see, there you go. That would make sense.
That's
They
right.
must have cut it out because of a take or something, but it was there. It
Yes.
existed.
That is true. All
Nice
right.
catch.
There you go. Cool. So on every Wednesday, we have a nice segment called Hughes Hump Dump Day, where my guests will give us their top five John Hughes movies, which you sort of almost gave away a little bit of it on Monday, but or was that in the green room on Monday? I don't even remember.
I think it was the green room. Yeah, I started. There was much green room chatter where I said we should probably save it. Or actually, you probably said that, and I just
Yeah.
kept talking.
That's fine. That's fine. That's fine.
I do have a question about these, and I think I heard one of your guests before use some of his movies that he was just a writer, not
Yeah, that's fine.
writer-director.
That's fine.
Okay. Then I'm good to go. All right. My number five is Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. This is a fantastic movie. It's so much fun. Obviously, you enjoy it. You're doing a minute-by-minute show about it,
Yeah,
but it's great.
and I'm still enjoying it after
Yeah.
63 minutes of it. You know,
That's and
we've only
that's
got a half
deep.
hour left of the movie.
You're taking apart all the pieces and you're still enjoying it. That says a lot about it.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it more because now I notice that, he didn't pick up his suitcase.
Yes. Yes, I love catching stuff like that. It doesn't make me hate the movie. I love it. It's just cool to know the extra stuff. You want to know everything you can. It's a good
Completely.
thing. People misinterpret it entirely. It's not complaining. It's not nitpicking.
No.
It's loving every aspect of it. All right, my number four is Uncle Buck. And it was probably my favorite as a kid. And it was another one that my parents were not sure that I should watch, which was fine because they let me watch Aliens, but Uncle Buck,
So
problems.
you should be happy about that.
I am. But then after a while, it was fine. You can watch it. I love Uncle Buck. It's wonderful. It's still delightful. That's one that it's on. I'm going to stop and I'm going to watch it and finish it from wherever it's at. My number three. Oh, The Great Outdoors. The Great Outdoors is so
Wait, one second,
wonderful.
one second. The Great Outdoors is John Hughes.
I saw it as he was a writer on it. It's
Okay.
listed as one of his writer. Yeah, I didn't know that either. I thought he might have had his hands in it. I did not realize that until I was checking. And I said, okay, well,
All
I
right.
feel a little weird adding it, but that's one of my favorite comedies of all time too.
Okay. I thought you made a mistake and were telling me the John Candy stuff.
Nope,
No.
but that might show up later. Foreshadowing non-green room talk. Okay.
No. Yeah.
Number two is Ferris Bueller's Day Off. I mean, it's Ferris Bueller's Day Off. It's fantastic. I don't know if it's held up as well. I don't. I know some people don't. I don't know if it's nostalgia that I'm still attached to it, but especially when you're a kid, the fantasy of taking the day off and taking the world by the balls, essentially, and just going for it is great. Plus, Matthew Broderick is just amazing in
Yeah.
it. It's delightful. It's a fun movie, and it's so everything about that time. So, Ferris Bueller's Day Off for number two, and number one is The Breakfast Club, which is probably not really a big shock, and I'm sure I'm not the only one who's picked that as their number one either. Actually, it was just
There
on the other
are
day, and I
one, two, three, four, five. You are the sixth person to choose that as your number one.
Yeah, I mean, I can be a foregone conclusion when it's a good conclusion. It's fine.
Why not?
There's a reason for it being the great movie that it is. It's one of the first movies that really, really, kind of tapped into what it was like to be a teenager and melodramatic, absolutely, but still so delightful.
Yes, very true. All right, so every day we have a segment called Off the Beaten Track where myself or my guest will give a little story or anecdote of something that might have happened to us along the journey of life. So, Heather, you got another one for us?
I do, and this one actually was not my mom's fault. This is me actually out in the woods exploring by myself, out on a run. I'm a marathon runner. I'm a long distance runner. Most of my running is urban running, suburban running around here. But if you've watched any horror movies, you don't have to go very far into the woods to get lost
Right.
on a path or not on a path, trail running. I had gone into woods that I'd been in before, and I had a limited time frame before I had to get back and get to work and do like 45 other things while I was out there, but it had rained the night before. So everything was just sludge and mud. And usually I could follow certain markers and certain things, but everything looked different. It just looked different. And I think I went in circles for a good hour before I finally got out. It's one of the only times that I was lost and by myself. And it wasn't far from, you know, not a city, but any of the places that I knew how to get back to. Like there was one path and road. Anyway, it was an absolute nightmare, and I was terrified for a good hour that I was going to somehow get dead in the mud. And then I found my way out.
All right. I'm glad to hear that. And if you hadn't, you wouldn't be here. Exactly.
No, I would have found my way out. What you really should do too, and I probably would have been able to do, is if the sun's out, just keep following the direction of the sun. But it wasn't. It was still overcast and gross.
And then you'll get to Chicago.
Yeah, exactly.
Quicker than Neil or Dale. There you go.
Maybe not. Yeah. Maybe not. I get distracted.
That's true. Good point. All right. Great. Thank you very much for that. Heather, you want to once again tell me how they can get in touch with you?
Yes. You can find the show, MILFcast at MILFcast, on all the socials. And you can follow me on Twitter or on Instagram at Heather_Kenobi or Heather Time.
Excellent. And to find me is very simple also. Just do a quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can find me on Facebook, on Twitter, or go to my website. So, until tomorrow, you're fine.
You're fine.